Good morning. Today is Friday, December 17th, 2021, and it is 8:30 a.m. I now call the this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll check. Hector Serna, are you present?
Present.
Larry Long, are you present?
Present.
We have a quorum for the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the Audit Committee, please fill out the witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on October 15th, 2021. These minutes were circulated to the members of in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
None here.
No.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on October 15th, 2021?
So moved.
Name?
Sure.
Right. Is there a second?
I'm Larry Long, I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item B. I believe Commissioner Trotti is going to give the report, but Antonio Antov is going to do that in her place. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Antonio Antov, Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our report, our audit activities report is on page, let me just scroll there. On page 5. We currently have no outstanding audit findings. We completed the annual risk assessment, which Garza Gonzalez will present later in the meeting. Our SORM walkthrough was performed in November, and the report is attached in the packet. We had no findings or recommendations, and the auditor, our risk manager from SORM had very good things to say about the walkthrough. The our controlled penetration test is scheduled for January, and that's performed by, it's DIR, but it's a third party performs it through DIR. It's required annual test. Okay. And that's my report.
Any questions?
No, just congratulations on the SORM report.
Thank you.
Kept looking for something there, so congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Very helpful. Thank you. All right, next, Commissioner Cooper.
Page 11 is our report. It's very short on our cybersecurity framework assessment. A DIR, we reported the findings there to the audit committee previously, and we will, on completion of the remediations, we will report that to you again in executive session. Then Comptroller is doing a post-payment audit. It's pending, listed as pending, and they're supposed to start their field work on January the 25th. And that's all we have. Excuse me.
They already did it.
They already did it.
And I was, Commissioner Cooper, going to ask a question maybe to that. Was it started in January 25th, 2021. Is it normal that this process would
Wendy, would you come up and...
Wendy Rodriguez for the Department of Banking. The audit started in January, and it has taken an extensive time. It's been done virtually, so it's taken a little bit longer. We were promised a report in the fall, and we have not received it yet, so we are still waiting for them to wrap up and do their report.
Okay. Thank you.
If I can interject, the last time we had a post-payment audit, it seemed to me that the report took an exceptionally long time. Yeah. And they group agencies and issue a quarterly report of a lot of different agencies at the same time. And
great.
So ours took an exceptionally long time.
Yep.
Okay. Thank
if
you.
That helps.
Yes, that helps. Any questions?
Commissioner, any forecast on the report from AT&T when that would be?
We've already had the report. We're doing the remediation.
The remediation. So when we'll get a report on the remediation.
The next meeting is in February, at the next meeting.
Okay, I just didn't, I didn't know if it was going to be 2 months, 6 months, 8 months. So, okay, thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Pettiton.
Thank you very much. The Office of the Consumer Credit Commissioner Audit Activities Report is on page 13. And really, these are all pretty much the same as they were at the last meeting. Our SDSI audit, it continues in progress. We're, you know, heavily in the field work stage right now. We hope that we're on the downward slope of field work. The estimated completion of this audit, the report issuance is slated for March. So hopefully they're still on schedule. I'll get an update next week on status, but that continues and consumes a lot of staff resources at the moment as we respond to many requests. The other two are follow-ups from some internal audit items, which we expect to complete in January. We're nearing the end on those, but we expect January those will wrap up. And then we have a similar situation the banking was talking about. We had a Department of Public Safety fingerprint or criminal history information kind of audit, and field work was completed some time ago, well over 6 months ago, and we're waiting on a report. So maybe we'll get that someday. And then I had one more item I wanted. This looks like the best place to discuss it. Since we don't have financial statements this particular month, but I wanted to mention something about our fund balance. And at the October meeting, we presented our year-end fiscal reports for fiscal year 21 for the end of August. And at that meeting, we reported our fourth consecutive quarter of more than 6 months of operating reserve. And when we adopted our budget in August, you may recur, we explained that we expected that to occur, and it occurred in large measure due to the unpredictability associated with COVID-19, and that we're going to be working to reduce our operating reserve throughout FY22, and it would take us probably into FY23. The liquidity policy of the Finance Commission states that if the unreserved funds exceed 6 months of budgeted operating expenditures for four consecutive quarters, then we have to create a plan to reduce the excess amount, right? So we're evaluating our fund balances presently and the reserved amounts to ensure that they continue to be appropriate for our stated needs. And depending upon the outcome of that evaluation, and then taking into consideration the action of the Finance Commission yesterday related to reserves, if there is still an expectation that unreserved funds will exceed 6 months, we will present a plan at the February meeting to formalize our intended actions related to the fund balance. However, at this point, I don't think that's going to be necessary, but I just wanted to put some, you know, advise you of that, that we're certainly monitoring it. We're very cognizant of it and would plan to move ahead with something in February if necessary.
Just remind us the number of months as of October, the number of months like.
I think it was seven. And with the action yesterday, it'll take it.
All right, that makes sense.
But I just wanted to acknowledge that I'm certainly aware of it, monitoring it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Okay, great. We will now move on to item C. Kimberly Lopez Gonzalez with Garza Gonzalez will present for each agency.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Audit Committee. I'm Kim Lopez Gonzalez, representing Garza Gonzalez and Associates, the CPA firm from San Antonio that you have selected to perform the internal audit functions for the Finance Commission. So the three agencies of the Finance Commission. What you have included in your packet is the audit plan for the Finance Commission, which includes all three agencies. This is the internal audit plan for fiscal year 2022. In accordance with the Internal Auditing Act, all state agencies are required to go through an annual risk assessment, which we performed starting in October, and issued the final audit plan to management, which came to the audit committee and the members on November. Actually, we submitted the final one on November 24th to meet the requirement that was requested of us to present here at the December meeting. And during that process, we did have a lot of communication with staff and also with Ms. Scanlon, and addressed a lot of the questions that were asked. And I believe that Ms. Scanlon, I know that she was in agreement with the areas that we are proposing included in the audit plan for all three agencies for fiscal year 2022. So the internal audit plan that is included in your packet begins on page 15 and goes through page 33. Page 17 of the audit plan is our report to you, indicating that we have performed the risk assessment and are recommending to you the internal audit plan for fiscal year 22. Of course, this committee does have the prerogative to make any revisions as they consider necessary. Page 18 of the internal audit plan includes the methodology that we follow as part of the risk assessment process to develop the internal audit plan. As part of the risk assessment, we do have a lot of communication, as I indicated, with staff. We also receive questionnaires that we develop to be provided to the staff of the various agencies, where we get feedback from them to develop the risk assessment summary and also to develop the plan. Page 19 of the audit plan are the 8 risk factors that our firm uses in analyzing and going through the process of the risk assessment for all audit topics that are potential audit topics that are identified for each agency. Page 21 and 22 of the audit plan is DOB's internal audit plan. And as part of the internal audit plan for fiscal year 2022, we are proposing to perform audits of 2 areas, perform a follow-up of any prior year recommendations that were not fully addressed as of fiscal year 2021, any other tasks that we may be assigned, and also preparation of the annual internal audit report for fiscal year 2022. The section underneath that internal audit plan is the risk assessment, but I think a better picture for you to look at would be at page 28, if you wouldn't mind going to page 28 of the plan, so that you could see the risk assessment summary. I know it looks like a lot of numbers, but I think a lot of you are familiar with this risk assessment summary. So this risk assessment summary shows the potential audit topics for the Texas Department of Banking, where there are 17 areas. There are 2 areas that are in the high risk category, 8 areas in the moderate risk, and 7 areas in the low risk. I should have prefaced this by saying that all 3 agencies just transitioned to CAPS beginning September 1st, 2021. And also they are getting ready, I think, at the beginning of fiscal year 2022 to convert to CAPS for the HR, for human resources and payroll. So that was also considered as part of the risk assessment process. And so what we are recommending for the Texas Department of Banking is the bank examinations area, which is the first highest risk area for audit. And the next item that we are, area that we are recommending for audit is item number 6, the IT examinations. And the reason for us skipping down to IT examinations is that the corporate activities area is currently going through a lot of personnel changes. So we didn't feel like this was the best year for us to perform an audit of that area. We defer that to hopefully maybe based on our analysis next year, to defer it to the following year. And because of the CAPS transition, we are not proposing audits of items 3, 4, or 5, because those areas are also going to be affected heavily by the CAPS transition. So wanting to give the agencies time to go through the CAPS transition, develop policies and procedures to be in alignment with the new system before we decide that it is the best time for audit of those types, those areas that will be affected by the CAPS transition. So the areas for DOB that we are recommending is the bank examinations and item number 6, IT examinations. And as I indicated, in addition to the audits, we also perform follow-up, which we always do, and preparation of the internal audit annual report, which is required to be submitted to the various state agencies to include the state auditor's office by November 1st of each year. So that is the plan for the Texas Department of Banking. Madam Chair, would you like me to continue, or would you prefer that questions be answered right now for DOB?
I think we'll let, do you have any questions for the DOB?
I think any questions I have may wait till after the.
Sure.
The one thing I might interject here too for the committee is when we have these conversations, I was reviewing the risk assessments. Then when we got the final report, we did, I did compare back to the original conversations to make sure everything came across as we had agreed to. And then the second schedule that you may go over next, kind of learning how long we were going in between audits for certain areas and getting an understanding around that as well. So we did talk quite extensively about that.
That's kind of where I was going with it. And you explained the corporate activities with the Department of Banking, you know, that I guess you said that even though it's considered high risk right now, and it's been a while since that's been audited, that the reason was, you said it's low in manpower right now.
It is very low in manpower.
Is it still a high risk? Is it, you know, even though it's low, it's still in that high risk category. And that's even going to filter down to the other two departments. And Madam Chair, this may be something that y'all have already talked about.
No, I think it's good to talk about, because we did talk extensively. That was my question is,
yeah,
how are we skipping a high risk area when it's been several years since the area has actually been?
And I even look back to, well, there may be a reason because it's been audited recently, but then some of the areas that you're going to audit in 2022, there was that same gap in time between like a moderate risk and a high risk.
There is. So if you want to, if other members want to look at page 31, just so that we could continue talking about the time since last audit of the various areas. So the Texas Department of Banking on page 31, this shows the history of areas audited. And yes, corporate activities listed as item number 3 here. The last time that an internal audit was performed on that was in 2013. And so, yes, you are right, Mr. Long, that it has been, an internal audit hasn't been performed since 2013, but the sunset review did cover the corporate activities area. But to get to the point of why would we defer that because of the significant changes that are going on with the manpower. If this continues, if it's pervasive, like if we see that's continuing for next year, we wouldn't pass it up. We give them a year kind of like to put their personnel in place. This has occurred, and Ms. Ganlon did ask that too. This has occurred in other state agencies where we were the internal auditors. And because it wasn't addressed timely within a year, we did select it for audit because we feel like, well, if they're not getting their personnel in place, there could be material issues that could be rising during that timeline. So we want to make sure that we get in there within a year, even if there is personnel issues.
Yeah. Well, so obvious,
we do consider that.
It is so obvious that a great amount of thought is put into it. And my reason for bringing up the question is just to, again, better understand that thought process, because I know that y'all have
there's a lot of moving parts during the risk assessment.
Yeah. And it's even more so, I think, in the other two. So we can move ahead to the other two agencies, but yes. I think maybe we can talk about similar details of why certain audits are being done in those two.
Sure. So
there's a fine line. There's a fine line between high risk and moderate risk. And I think that the IT examinations in this environment might move into a higher risk category, but I'm not sure if you can address that in terms of IT being moderate versus high.
Yeah, so if you can see that the IT, I think the reason for it being moderate versus high is, you look at the high risk areas, if you look risk factor number 8, bank examinations has a 3 and corporate activities has a 2. This is feedback that we've received from personnel and the bank examinations. This area was being requested to be audited with like this year in 2022, just because, you know, there's been changes there in operations, not necessarily because of personnel, but just because changes there. So I think Commissioner Cooper and Deputy Commissioner Wendy has recommended that, you know, take a look at it because they want to make sure that, you know, their operations are still working as implemented. And then corporate activities, if you'll notice there, there's a two because they'd like an audit done in the near future when everything is in a line, you know, all staff has been put in place to make sure that, again, that the processes are still in place and the internal controls are still working as intended. So if you'll look at that, those are some of the reasons that IT examinations moves to a moderate risk versus a high risk. That's one of the major issues there is because there are no issues or concerns right now with that IT examinations. However, it is a materiality of it because it's such an important process for the Department of Banking that it does raise to a higher level of moderate risk than other areas do.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Cooper would like to make a comment.
Just to follow up on that, you know, a lot of this is judgment. And so as we're trying to determine what should be done, and we make recommendations and their audit firm evaluates those. But using this as an example, I will tell you with what's going on in the world right now and cybersecurity issues and our IT personnel that we have and the job that I think they're doing, I think I could make a pretty good stance that this is probably the theory that we need to have the tires kicked. And so I'm completely comfortable with that. We have a personnel shortage on the corporate side, but quite frankly, we've got it everywhere. So, but from a risk standpoint, I'm more concerned about the IT than I am the corporate. So I really like being able to pivot in this regard. So from the agency head position, I'm very comfortable with this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, moving on to the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. I think I'm going to stick with you looking at page 29, looking at that risk assessment summary for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. For the SML, there are 12 potential audit topics, 4 in the high risk category, 3 in the moderate risk, and 5 in the low risk. And for SML, we are recommending the second highest risk area, which is the legal and enforcement area. The reason for skipping to number 2 is because the mortgage examinations area just went through an accreditation process. And so they have pretty much probably everything in alignment. So I think we as a firm, and this is what I informed Ms. Gallen about, is I think the resources for the internal audit what could be better used on the next area since they've already gone through the accreditation process. So they probably have everything in line because they were reaccredited. And so that is our thought process of recommending the legal and enforcement versus the mortgage examinations.
So going through that, does it make it drop down? Does the risk go lower at that point because they've gone through that process?
It is considered in risk factor number 2 because they went through that process. We assigned it a 2, not a 1, because we don't feel like it was maybe like a full internal audit review.
Okay.
But the reason why mortgage examinations is coming up to the highest risk versus the others is because the risk factor number 4 on the adequacy of staffing levels.
Okay.
So if that were not there, not a 2, it'd be at the same level as the next 3 areas. So that's why we are recommending legal and enforcement. If you'll notice, legal and enforcement items numbers 2 or areas numbers 2, 3, and 4, they have the same weight of a score of 173, but we are recommending legal enforcement because that, when you compare items or areas 2, 3, and 4, legal enforcement hasn't had an internal audit within 10 years.
So, and Thrift Examinations had an internal audit in 17 and Thrift Supervision and Compliance in 18. So that is why we are recommending legal enforcement versus the other two areas. Moving to page 30 for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. And this one, this one has 17 potential audit topics, 2 areas in the high risk area, 8 in the moderate risk, and 7 in the low risk. We are skipping to item number 4 for the area recommended for audit. And again, the reason for that is because items 1 through 3 have transitioned through CAPS, and those are the areas that are highly affected by CAPS. And so that is why we are now deferring to regulated lenders examinations as the suggested audit for OCCC in fiscal year 2022. And Deb, you have any areas, and I know that you have looked at the history of areas audited for that, which is on page 33. And you can see that those areas have not been had an internal audit in a number of years, but they have had they've been audited by, or they've had a what do you call the post payment audit within the I don't know 5 years or so. So that was our thought process of deferring.
Very good explanation. It sounds like, in Commissioner Cooper's statement, it sounds like it's kind of a risk assessment, talking to the agency heads, and what needs to be done. So it's a good presentation.
We definitely do have a lot of communication with management and with the audit committee chair each year when we do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I do another statement? So, following up on that, you know, obviously this is the responsibility for the audit committee. If y'all see something that doesn't look right, then you need to cut the cost out on it, and you do. But, you know, I'm speaking for myself, and I want to make sure we hit the high spots on the most risky areas, and it could fluctuate. I mentioned cyber security. Now we're going to talk about it a little bit later. It's a good example. You could argue that maybe you ought to do this. So we have to use judgment. Y'all use judgment. So if y'all feel like our judgment's not sound, then call us on it. I think that's your job.
I sent a really long list of questions.
Good. But we appreciate that because we know that it gets us better prepared to come before the audit committee because we know kind of like what questions may be asked. So, you know, as I indicated, this committee has had the prerogative to make any changes that they feel where the better use of the internal audit may be. And it's been done in previous years, as most people know here. So we are recommending these areas, but we know that they could change just based on conversations that could happen here.
Thank you. All right, then, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's fiscal year 2022 internal auditor's risk assessment and audit plan?
Larry Long, I'll make a motion.
Right. Is there a second?
Second, Hector Sedna.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The ayes have it, and the motion passes. So we will now move on to item D, which is Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item D is the report on the Texas Financial Education Endowment activities. And I wanted to touch on one issue before Christine Graham's going to provide the rest of the report. But at the last meeting, we had some extended discussion about the assessments that are used to collect, that we collect to fund this endowment from the credit access businesses. And we talked about an issue that I had expressed that we had attained a level in the fund that met our initial projections when we first started this, and the vision that we discussed back in, I guess, 2012 and 2013 when we were getting started, and we sort of set a vision that where we thought we were going. And while staff, we had proposed modification for future assessments because we thought we were within the range and we'd attain that level of sustainability that, as you recall, the Finance Commission was not in support of that modification. So it seems to me that we need to think about setting a new vision and a path forward for the expectations of the TIFI fund based upon that action at the last meeting. I just wanted to bring this forward and take a few minutes and ask members to be thinking about what those expectations might be. I sure appreciate your input over the next month or two, so we can start working towards that new vision and that plan at our February meeting. I also want to mention at February meeting, we've invited the folks from the Treasury Safekeeping Trust Company to come present information on the endowment, on the fund's performance and their asset allocations and some of those kind of issues associated with the fund. And that's usually a pretty good presentation. So we'll look forward to that in February, but we also hopefully we'll have some time to talk about sort of what our long-term vision is about where we expect the fund to go and what level of funding we would like to attain from it. So those comments, then I'd like to call upon Christine Graham to come forward and provide the TIFI report.
Hi.
Good morning.
So Christine Graham with the OCCC. You'll see the report on page 35 and 36 of your packet. So just kind of a brief update. We're wrapping up the 2020-2021 cycle at the end of the year. Grant recipients will submit their final reimbursement requests by January. Also in January, our 2022-2023 grant cycle is going to be beginning. All of those grant agreements have been executed, and it's the highest number of organizations and highest dollar amount that we've awarded in TIFI history. I've been in conversations with the new award recipients, and they're excited and kind of ready to hit the ground running. So that's a quick update on that. Any questions about that?
No.
And then the next agenda item deals with our grant advisory committee. So the grant advisory committee consists of no more than six members, kind of from varied backgrounds. And there are going to be three vacancies starting with the 2022-2023 grant cycle. And so agency staff would like to make a recommendation for those vacancies. The first recommendation we'd like to make is to reappoint Laura Rosen as our consumer advocate representative. She's been so insightful, and so her expertise over the TIFI, I just can't say enough good things. So you can see her bio here, and we'd like to recommend reappointing her. We also have a vacancy in the financial education consultant representative spot, and so we'd like to recommend that Linda Davis Demas be appointed for that vacancy. She is the vice president of housing, counseling, and grants with a nonprofit organization called Balance. She has more than a decade of experience in training credit counselors, providing financial education. And one thing about her that I'm really excited to work with her is that she administers all their grants. So she's going to have a lot of insight about sort of the administration side of the grant process. And then the credit access business representative, we're in discussions about that. I don't know if you want to mention anything, Commissioner.
Just that we hope to have another recommendation for a new appointment for that at the February meeting. It's in process.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all I have.
Is Laura, remind me again how long these appointments are. They
are for 4 years.
4 years. Is this her first time to do the reappointment?
Yes.
Right.
Any other questions?
And the process to find another person, for example, on the credit access business side, how is that accomplished?
Well, we try to identify. We have some conversations with leaders in the industry, and we identify people that we think would be appropriate to serve in that capacity, interested in the program and willing to participate. And, you know, there is some work involved in terms of evaluating grant applications,
right,
and people willing to produce that. So we've
We've got a candidate identified we're working for.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the appointment and reappointment of Grant Advisory Committee members Linda Davis-Demas and Laura Rosen, respectively?
Larry Long, I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, ayes have it, and the motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 9:05 a.m. Thank you.